your Locked On Panthers, your daily podcast on the Florida Panthers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to the Wednesday, November 24th edition of Locked On Panthers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is a daily podcast where we talk about all things Florida Panthers. I'm Armando Velez from PantherParkway.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at MonoMan12. You can follow the show account on Twitter at LO_FLAPanthers. And thank you for making the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast your first listen of the day. You can also follow the national show Locked On NHL and the Crosscheck NHL show with Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark, where they'll be covering all the regular season activities around the National Hockey League. So, Florida Panther fans, we have a very special episode. After 3 days off of not playing any NHL action, now with the Florida Panthers being 9-0-0 at home, I was thinking about a cool show concept for these next few days, and one of them was bringing not only a Philadelphia native to the show, but if you are a fan of the Locked On Podcast Network and listen to multiple shows, especially on the NHL side, you see that every time I promote, I start off with the show, you hear Crosscheck NHL with Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark. And for this episode, I'm very thankful to bring in Philadelphia native and co-host of the Crosscheck NHL show, Mary Clark. Mary, how are you doing?
I'm good. It is a busy week. It's Thanksgiving week. So I think you probably know how busy it can be. I mean, it's a busy time in the NHL. On the Crosscheck NHL show, we talked more recently about, you know, teams in trouble at the Thanksgiving break. And thankfully, both of our teams aren't really in trouble. Yours, especially, because the Panthers have been really good this year. But I'm doing really well. It's great to be on. I'm sad I missed you because on the Crosscheck NHL show, we had you as part of our summer crossover, and I sadly missed that episode. So I'm glad to be repaying the favor here and guesting on your show for the day.
Absolutely. And I wanted to make sure I made it happen, because of course I always want to make sure that I get as many people on the show as possible, like crossovers or even a national show spots as well, for sure, for each of us, because I'm all about helping each other. And That crossover series that you and Andrew did over the summer, for the Florida Panther fans, and even if you happen to be a Flyers fan coming onto this feed, listen to that summer series and go back to each and every team if you do have the time, and just listen to how they ask the questions and like who's in, who's out, and a breakdown. You literally got every single breakdown of every single team from each of the local experts, and each of these hosts are really deep into these teams. And Mary, I'm used to you really talking about the national landscape of things when it comes to the IHL, but I hear you talk Flyers here and there, but I don't get of course, because you're busy covering the national perspective of things, I don't hear too much of Flyers talk. But here's our opportunity to talk more about the Philadelphia Flyers. So the Florida Panthers and the Philadelphia Flyers, just about a month ago from today of this recording, had a game at the Wells Fargo Center on Saturday, October 23rd. That was a game where only one of those six goals were 5-on-5. The Florida Panthers went up 1-0 very early. Flyers score two straight goals, and then the Florida Panthers score three straight, including that shorthanded goal by a turnover from Keith Yandle that had a breakaway at the other end, and then Sam Reinhart finishes it off with an empty net goal. So a very highly contested game until the very end. And as far as the season for these Philadelphia Flyers, a very disappointing 2020 season for this team, a team that had the number one seed in the Stanley Cup bubble just two seasons ago, even though they didn't win the President's Trophy, they they got the number one seed in the round robin. From that high point for the Philadelphia Flyers to where they were last year to where they are now, what's the roller coaster of emotions for you and the roller coaster of emotions for the Philadelphia fan base when it comes to this team?
Well, I want to say it's nothing new for the Philadelphia fan base. We're so accustomed to this roller coaster of emotions, as you so succinctly put it. I actually honestly kind of forgot that they got the number one seed in that round robin thing, just because that happened so long ago. It was still in the middle of the pandemic, and as I've said on our show, my sense of time is completely warped by it all. So, you know, it's been so long, and there's been so much hockey, Flyers and non-Flyers hockey, that's happened in between. I think I speak for a lot of the Flyers fan base when I say that season, the 2019-20 season, being cut off in the middle really hurt for the Flyers fandom, because the Flyers were starting to really, you know, click and get like and gel together. I mean, it was, I believe, Alain Vigneault's first season, and they were really starting to, you know, catch fire at what many people thought was a great time, because, you know, we were starting to get into, you know, into March and get closer towards the playoffs and all of that. And then, you know, the season shut down, and it feels like the team hasn't really been the same since. They had a very specific type of magic to them. I don't think it would have gotten them to, you know, the Stanley Cup final or anything, but I think it probably would have gotten them to, you know, winning a playoff round. And they eventually did in that bubble series, but it didn't feel as, not impactful, but like didn't feel as well earned as what they were doing earlier in the season. So from there, you know, things kind of tapered off. They had a miserable season last year where, you know, they couldn't stop any goals from going in. Carter Hart looked bad. The team looked miserable. It was just misery all around. And this year it's been nice because it's been up and down. And I know the Flyers are kind of leaning more towards like the down part of the roller coaster after, you know, being up on a bit of a high for a little while. But there's a lot of good things about this team. There's still a lot of things they need to change, specifically, you know, the power play and special teams. But one of the glaring weaknesses, Carter Hart, has bounced back tremendously. I mean, he's probably in the Vezina, you know, consideration. I mean, it's still early enough, but he's been incredible for the team so far. I mean, through 11 games played, he has a .932 save percentage. I don't think you'll see Hart when the Flyers face the Panthers on Wednesday, because they're coming off of a back-to-back, and I would assume they'll go Hart first and then Martin Jones second. But Martin Jones also has been really good this season, which has surprised a lot of people. Nobody thought, I mean, even me, we were all really scared because Martin Jones has a history of really bad goaltending from his time in San Jose more recently. But in five games, he has a .920 save percentage. So there's a lot to be excited about, at least for the goaltending perspective. I'm still waiting to see if Martin Jones kind of falls off a cliff a little bit, and it very could well happen against the Panthers, who are an incredible team. But that's something to look forward to, I think, if you're, you know, a Panthers fan and listening to this to, you know, get the perspective and wondering, you know, who's the Flyers goalie they're going to face. It's most likely going to be Martin Jones, I would assume, because they're playing Tampa Bay on Tuesday. And I would assume that, you know, AV will put Carter Hart in for that matchup and then go Jones, but I don't know if that's been decided yet. I haven't seen anything, you know, as we record this the day before, but still it really has been a roller coaster of emotions for Flyers fans. But I think the biggest thing coming into this season was if Carter Hart was going to rebound and come back, because if Carter Hart wasn't, you know, if Carter Hart was the Carter Hart of last season and was really bad, there'd be a problem on Philadelphia's hands, and not just through the season, but for its future, because a lot is riding on him. And I don't know if he's going to be, you know, a .930 goaltender for the rest of his career, but if he can at least be, you know, above average, a .920 goalie, that's good enough. That will be good enough. But it has been a real treat to actually watch him bounce back. We'll talk about the rest of the team as we go through today, but Carter Hart has been a big, you know, reason why a lot of Flyers fans are feeling at least a little bit better about the season, even though it's also been pretty up and down.
I love Thanksgiving. All the good food and treats, and plenty of them. Maybe you want a yummy dessert, but isn't so full of calories and sugar? It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. Replace a coconut cream pie with a coconut Built Bar, or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of that raspberry pie. Lots of good flavors to replace any pie. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein. Covered in 100% real chocolate. Built is a great option for when you're hungry. If Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, go for a Built Bar or two. Share some with your family gatherings. It will make things less awkward. Maybe Aunt Betty hasn't tried a Built Bar yet. New surprises all month. Limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly, so check the site often. There's nothing like Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all surprises. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 50% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% at Built.com. Most teams have played, if they're doing the Florida swing and they're going to Tampa first, most of them have played their starter first, their main starter first, and then their backup against Florida, with the exception of Minnesota, who played Cam Talbot, their starter first, and then Kaapo Kähkönen on the second night against Tampa Bay. But Tampa Bay was also going off of a back-to-back where they played former Flyer Brian Elliott against Kaapo Kähkönen. And Martin Jones, the content boys, the guys of Locked On San Jose Sharks, have made the joke of Martin Jones' 3 straight years of .896 save percentage. But like you said it, .920 save percentage for Martin Jones. Carter Hart is a bounce back. But with also that great goaltending with the Philadelphia Flyers, there has to be also great defensive play in front of them. I know Ryan Ellis has been on LTIR since for about a week now. But talk about the defense in front of them. Are they doing anything differently in front of the goalie as well?
It seems to be, I don't want to say it's a little more stable, because the Flyers haven't had Ryan Ellis for a lot of the season this year. He really hasn't, not to say he hasn't been much of a factor, but he's played in 4 games. And the Flyers have played, I believe, 16. So he's played in a 1/4, if my quick math is correct. He's played in only 1/4 of their games this season, which hasn't been a lot. It's been really sad that we haven't seen the full capability of this Flyers team. I think we'll get into it when we talk more about injuries, because you noted to me that Kevin Hayes is out and is week to week. So we will get to that, I assume. But speaking on the defense, it seems to be stabilized a little bit more. And that's hard to say, because Rasmus Ristolainen is on the lineup too, but he's been better than expected by many people. Not to say that he's great, but he's at least not tanking this team completely. And the pairing he's been on, Travis Sanheim in the second pairing, has actually been, like I said, better than expected. They're not lighting the world on fire, I think, or anything, but at least they're doing better, at least now, than they were at the start of the season. So the defense is a little more stable, but it's hard to really say that when Ryan Ellis, the key linchpin of this defense, even, they brought him in over the summer. He was supposed to be paired with Ivan Provorov, and now Justin Braun is up on that top pair. And that it's been a bit of a mixed bag, but the defense can be better once we actually see all the pieces, because you've got Nick Seeler, who's just a random dude on the third pairing with Keith Yandle, and that's just that's not going to do it over the course of a full season. So I hope that Ryan Ellis takes his rest, comes back in short order, and we get to see more of that defense. But so far they haven't been killing them specifically, because previously in years past you've had guys that like Andrew McDonald who have really been killing the Flyers on defense, but that really hasn't been the case this year. The Flyers' problems more so this year are on their, lack of offensive production, in part because of injuries. And also just their bad special teams, specifically their power play has been pretty dreadful. So for once, it really isn't the Flyers' goaltending and defense that's the problem. It is the lack of scoring that is, causing issues with them this season. So it's a surprise not to have to worry that much about the Flyers defense, but there's still a lot to, they're not whole, they're not complete yet. So it is definitely a weakness on this team, because Ryan Ellis is such an incredible player and they haven't had him for most of the season. But at least when the defense fails them, Carter Hart and Martin Jones so far have been able to bail them out. But we'll see if that magic continues. It's hard to say if, you know, we're going to continue getting career seasons from Hart and Jones, basically, or if they'll fall off a cliff, because more recently the Flyers have been looking a little more shaky than they have earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm. And I got a few numbers in front for how great the defense has been for the Flyers. Goals against, their eighth best in the NHL. PK, their 11th best in the NHL. But of course, you talked about the power play, they're 26th in the NHL. The Panthers, despite their record, they're middle of the pack in the power play, and that's a part of the lineup that they're struggling in a little bit. And goals for as well, they're 22nd. So they're still challenging for one of those top four spots in the Metropolitan Division, despite the lack of scoring. But I want to ask one more defensive question before we get to the forwards for this Philadelphia Flyers team. Keith Yandle, former Florida Panther, gets bought out. The majority of the buyout is going to be affected next season. That's going to be Alexander Barkov's first year under his new deal. They won't have to extend Jonathan Huberdeau just yet. They'll probably do it next summer, but it won't kick in until the majority of Yandle's deal is paid out. But as far as Keith Yandle is concerned, I talked about it at the top of the episode. He had a turnover against the Panthers on the power play, which the Panthers went up on a shorty to make it 3-2 at the time. No goals, 5 assists. And I saw, not to put salt into the wound, a team worse -7 as far as the plus minus. And I lost track of how many games now because he's not on my team anymore. But as far as his production and or lack thereof, what are your thoughts on what Keith Yandle is doing up there in Philadelphia?
It'd be great if he could get more power play time, because he seems to have more, like, he's you know, a passer. He's going to, you know, make plays offensively. He's basically a black hole defensively. We knew this. The Flyers knew this when they picked him up. And if it was their, you know, regular defensive core and he wasn't paired with Nick Seeler, he'd probably be used maybe with like a Travis Sanheim. I'm not sure. But currently as it stands, I'd love to see him to get more power play time, because maybe he's able to rejuvenate that Flyers power play, which has been, you know, terrible. I mean, I think they're at a 15% on the season, which is not great. You do not want to see something like that from a team that's supposed to be contending. I'd like to see more from him, but we always knew what we were going to get with Keith Yandle. He's played, I believe, in all 16 of the Flyers games so far, and you're right, he only has 5 points. And it sucks that, like, you know, he's such a likable guy, friends with Kevin Hayes. He brings a lot to the room. It would just be, it'd be great if they could use him in a role best suited for him, which is, you know, not being used for defensive minutes at all. But with the way the Flyers defense is structured right now, they kind of has to, at least a little bit. But he's used on the third pairing, getting some power play time. I would like to see them utilize him in more strategies with the power play, because I think his, you know, passing ability is, you know, possibly one way the Flyers could rebound their power play numbers. But he's at least a nice dude, so, you know, it's a really cool story, especially because, you know, everything that's surrounded Kevin Hayes with, you know, the loss of his brother, there's a lot of, like, good uplifting feelings surrounding Keith Yandle. I just, you know, wish he was being utilized in a proper way and maybe not having to be relied on every single night. I would assume, you know, if the Flyers get Ryan Ellis back and, you know, maybe they call up some people from the minor leagues, like maybe Cam York, a youngster, is knocking on the door. Maybe Yandle gets pushed out of the lineup. But I think he's one of those guys that's so really good in the locker room. We knew what we were going to get, though, with him. He's 35, hasn't really been like super, super effective over his last couple seasons. But he's a nice dude. It's just kind of an unfortunate situation with the way the Flyers defense has panned out this year that he's not really being utilized, I think, in the way they wanted him to.
Yeah. And while you were talking about Yandle, I decided to open up a tab to see where his consecutive game streak is at, his Ironman streak is. And right now, his Ironman streak right now is at 938. And I did a little bit of math on my calculator. That's 26th away from tying Doug Jarvis's record for most consecutive games. Right now, Phil Kessel is right behind him. And even though Patrick Marleau's not on a NHL roster, at least to my knowledge, he's also behind there. So as soon as he gets signed by somebody, if somebody grabs him, he'll be definitely chasing that streak as well, right behind Yandel. So I'm not sure if even after Yandel breaks the record, if he'll be out of the lineup, because that's a streak that even Yandel last year was, Coach Q was thinking about healthy scratching him in the first game of the season, and his teammates were right there behind him to say, no.
It's hard to sit him.
Yeah, it's hard to sit him right now.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Kevin Hayes, the loss of his brother, Jimmy Hayes, former Florida Panther, and Boston guy. I had John Buccigrassi on the show to talk about the life of Jimmy Hayes, and I highly recommend anyone to listen to that episode to hear more about who Jimmy Hayes is. But talk about the loss of Kevin Hayes week to week. Former 24th overall pick by the Chicago Blackhawks back in 2010. What's the loss looking like for Kevin Hayes, and how much does this impact this lineup?
It hurts. I mean, I don't think we've had a fully healthy Flyers lineup since the start of the season. Kevin Hayes was out recovering from injury, which I think he, you know, re-injured in the summer. He had surgery, I believe, somewhere in his like groin area, lower body, something, and then re-injured it before training camp, and then was out for the beginning of the season, came back, had 2 points in two games, scored a really emotional goal, had a really emotional celebration, you know, in relation to, you know, his brother. And then sadly got injured again, re-injured his injury, and is now out week to week. It sucks. It is one of those things where, you know, we knew that Kevin Hayes wasn't probably going to, you know, immediately off the bat on this team, you know, be as productive as he has been in the past, because he's really been pretty productive with the Flyers. I mean, last year was kind of a down year for him with 31 points in 55 games, but he's, you know, he scored 20 goals in his first season, 23 specifically in his first season with the team back in 2019-20. So he's been a really impactful player for this team, and a very Philly guy in terms of, you know, just like the way he plays hockey. So sucked not to see him. And you know, that means the offense is, you know, also dealing with the fact that they're missing a huge piece of the puzzle. I mean, Derek Brassard is the team's second line center. That shouldn't be if Kevin Hayes was, you know, healthy and on the team. Kevin Hayes would be in that second line center role, but you know, you have to make do, and the Flyers, you know, have had to, you know, jumble their lines a bit, try and figure things out. It is a shame that we haven't had Kevin Hayes for a good portion of the season and just only two games, because he's such a fun player to watch. And I'll definitely be paying attention to this going forward too, because like I said, it messes with, you know, the Flyers lines. You know, one big player from the Flyers defense is gone, and Ryan Ellis, and it has messed up everything. And you know, one big player from the Flyers is gone on the offense and has messed up everything. So it's just, it's hard to see, you know, the move Chuck Fletcher made over the summer, and he acquired these players, added some really good depth, and it's kind of all not fallen apart, but it's been, you know, you've been taking pieces out of, you know, the Jenga puzzle, and it's starting to like teeter a little bit just because of unfortunate injuries and the way things are. But I hope he can come back in his, you know, week to week. It is as short a time as possible, but I hope he is well rested too, because the Flyers want to compete for a playoff spot this year, and you know, maybe win a round. They're going to need, you know, a healthy Kevin Hayes, a healthy Ryan Ellis. So I hope that they take their time and, you know, rest up and try and, you know, get healthy, and they don't rush him back, because the season is long. I mean, we're at American Thanksgiving, basically. It's, you know, the unofficial gut check time for a lot of teams, you know, especially if you're in trouble. But the Flyers are still in the mix. Things are kind of a little bit worrying now because they're in a tough part of the schedule, and their offense has gone cold. And a lot of that is because Derek Brassard is the team's second line center. That's would not be the case usually. He was going to be probably a bottom of the line fourth liner guy, but they've had to move him up just because. And it's been a really unfortunate situation that a lot of the team's offense has gone cold at this time. but hopefully something can spark it. It would have been nice if, you know, Kevin Hayes was able to come in and provide that spark, but then he got re-injured. So it's just one of those things where the Flyers kind of have to weather the storm right now and try and find, you know, a spark from within to keep them winning in this time, because it's a rough part of the schedule. I mean, like I said, they've got Tampa Bay and then Florida, two really, really good teams. So I wouldn't be surprised if they come away from this, you know, Florida road trip with two losses, just based on the strength of the teams alone. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm looking at the standings for the Metropolitan Division based on points percentage. I'm just going based on that. They're tied for fifth. Columbus is a surprise this year. Don't know how long they'll keep that up based on their teardown. Just this last, from the last trade deadline and the offseason as well. Pittsburgh, of course, they haven't been healthy neither. New Jersey is still that team that's kind of rebuilding, but they're slowly progressing. The Islanders have been a little bit of a disappointment, but of course, 13 games on the road to start probably has something to do with that, but not entirely. And one more question, Flyers related. Claude Drew, the captain, the heart and soul of this team, who's been for the Flyers as long as I've been watching hockey. A little bit of two down years for Claude Drew the last two seasons after a brilliant 2018-2019 season. Now he's averaging about a point per game despite the lack of offensive production. But Claude Drew is still performing outstanding. He had I believe it was against the Tampa Bay Lightning just last week or the week before, where he had a brilliant move like right on Andrei Vasilevskiy, which was like, wow, that's the Claude Giroux that we know. Talk about how he's performed so far this season.
Yeah, it's been not to say a pleasant surprise, because, you know, I mean, he's 34, so he will, you know, come down in, you know, his play eventually. Age comes for us all, the old saying, but mm-hmm. It's been great. He has been a point of gain this season, and he's really stepped up in some big moments for this Flyers team, and that's always great to see. He's been the captain for so long. He's one of the, you know, heart and soul guys of this Philly team. He's a great dude. I mean, I've, you know, interviewed him a handful of times back when I was on the Flyers beat on the Athletic. He's just a really great dude, so it's been awesome to see him have this resurgence this season. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they've moved him off of being the center full time for this team. Sean Couturier is now the team's first line center and has been for, I guess, a couple of seasons now. They'll move Giroux back to center as needed, you know, in terms of like, you know, when they've got, you know, Derek Brassard centering the second line, sometimes they'll move him, you know, back to center just to fill a need. But he's been on the left wing for some time now, and I think that transition has really helped him. I guess he just doesn't have to do a whole, he can just focus on, you know, playing his game, playing the puck, being in the positions he needs to be in. And he just seems to really thrive in that left wing role, which is great. And it's great that he's found a bit of a resurgence this season. I mean, he's got 7 goals, 16 points total. He's just, it's been really fun to see. And I've always admired his game, loved him as a captain. He's just, like I said, great dude. So now this Flyers team won't go as Claude Giroux goes, because there's other, you know, major factors in that. A lot of that is, you know, this team will go as, you know, Carter Hart goes, basically. As I hate to say it, because I love Carter Hart, but there is, you know, goaltending is such a fragile position, at least in the city of Philadelphia, as you may know their track record with goalies. But Claude Giroux is one of the beating hearts of this team, and it's been great to see him do really well this season. And I hope that he continues to play well, because if his offense disappears, then I don't know who's scoring, you know, the goals for the Flyers, because I believe he leads the team in goals alongside Cam Atkinson, who has been also a really good acquisition for the Flyers this year. Scored a shorthanded goal, I believe, done a lot of really good things. But Claude Giroux succeeding is great, because he's a good dude, always easy to root for. He's just a fun dude, and it's been great to see him have a second resurgence, and I hope the team rises to meet him, because he can carry this team on his back sometimes as needed, but he can't do it forever, like for a full season, so he's got to get some help back there.
Mm-hmm. I tell people that one of my first memories of hockey was the Philadelphia-Boston series back in 2010, where the Philadelphia Flyers were down 3-0 against Boston, and even down 3-0 against them in Game 7, and they were able to come back from that. And of course, they eventually make it to the Stanley Cup Final, losing to Chicago. And those were some of my very first memories of Claude. And great to see that now he has a lot less pressure on him, not being the first line center shifted to the wing, with Sean, like you said, Sean Couturier being the first line center. And for the Panther fans, Sean Couturier is a former eighth overall pick from 2011. They just signed him to an 8-year extension on August 26th, just this last offseason. So Sean Couturier is one that's here to stay, and hey, maybe a future captain for this team. Actually, one more Claude Giroux question, because I saw that his contract is expiring after this year. So two Northeastern teams actually have captains that they have expiring contracts. To my knowledge, I was seeing Patrice Bergeron of the Boston Bruins, and I'm seeing now Claude Giroux. If Claude Giroux does come back after this season, what do you think the term and the money is for?
I mean, it's going to be short. I wouldn't be able to give you years and stuff like that. I don't remember how close the Flyers are to the cap, but it's pretty close. I would have to look up the numbers, but he'll shine short. I mean, he's going to be a Flyer for life. I don't see the Flyers moving on from him. The only time I could see that is if he is, you know, reaching the end of his career and wants to maybe go win a cup elsewhere if the Flyers aren't in a position to do so. But he has a family here. I mean, he has his roots here in Philadelphia. He loves the city from everything we've seen. But it's going to be short, I would assume. Probably, I want to say 3 years. I mean, that gets him to age 37. 3-4 is probably what I'm looking at. Or at least, you know, I don't know what age he will be by the time his contract expires. But I would assume somewhere in that 3-4 range. It's going to be pretty short. But I would hope he signs and stays a Flyer for life. Even if he doesn't win a Stanley Cup, I want them to, because, you know, he's seen so much in his career. He was part of that 2010 team that, you know, just lost to Chicago. And, you know, he's seen a lot of ups and downs in his career. And it would be great if the Flyers could get him a cup. But if, you know, we're at that time and he's set to retire soon and he doesn't, I hope he goes somewhere that he can. Hopefully not to Pittsburgh, because that would be killer to me. But he embodies everything about the Flyers, and it'd be great to see him continue his captaincy until he retires. I don't see why he would, you know, leave, because the only way I could see him leaving is if the Flyers completely bottom out this season and replicate their disastrous march from last year. And it just, you know, it seems like the team isn't going anywhere, but they rejuvenated a lot of the personality in the team this year. And part of the reason people thought the team last year didn't do so well is because it just wasn't a good mix in the locker room. So now there's a lot more, it seems like there's a lot more camaraderie, a lot more just, you know, people, they like each other, it seems. So I don't think Giroux would leave that environment unless something completely disastrous happened and he thought maybe elsewhere would be a better chance of success for a Stanley Cup. But he has roots here, and I want him to win a Stanley Cup here. It'd be great. He's been a great captain, kind of been through a lot of unfortunate things in just terms of, like, you know, had to kind of soft rebuild for a good portion of the time. Didn't have, you know, a lot of good pieces around him for a while. He was like really the only one with, you know, Jake Voracek, like, kind of doing anything until Sean Couturier emerged as a real threat on this team. So be nice for him to get his Stanley Cup here, but it doesn't always happen, unfortunately.
And I'm forecasting that the Flyers will be a very different team next offseason, because I was just counting the amount of expiring contracts that this Flyers team has going into next season. There's 13 of them. So RFAs and UFAs combined. So there's a lot of them. So yep. There could be a little bit of, not necessarily the money that he's making right now, unless they just want to give him that, hey, you've been here for so long, we still want to give you the money that we think you deserve for your past. We want to pay you for your past. So that could happen. That could very well happen. And so they could have the cap space definitely for that. As far as the term, we can't expect no more than 3 for sure. So they'll definitely have the cap space from what I just saw, from what I was just looking at Philadelphia's cap.
It's exciting times to be a Flyers fan. I mean, like back in the day when, you know, Paul Holmgren used to run the team, they would, you know, stay close to the cap forever and ever. So, you know, any emerging cap space kind of excites Flyers fans because, you know, that means new opportunities for deals to be made. If things don't work out this season, we could see a whole new shuffling of the deck in terms of, you know, who they bring in. So who's to say that a lot rides on this season. I think in their minds, they want to win at least one playoff round. I think that's probably, if I had to guess, their like internal goals of like, this is at least, you know, I mean, obviously everyone's goals are to win a Stanley Cup, but like, I think a, you know, successful season would be making the playoffs and winning at least a round. Anything below that is probably a pretty big failure in their eyes and may result in more shuffling. So who knows? But it's interesting that there's going to be so much coming off the books, because that means there's a ton of possibility depending on how things shake out this season.
Mm-hmm. And the Panthers are in the same boat where they are. I mean, they haven't won a round since 1996, but this is the year to finally do it and to win their first playoff round since. And there's a chance this year, especially the goal is for them to win the division. So you get that home ice advantage for at least the first two rounds, at least. At least it's looking like for now, because Carolina is just doing well. They're right now the leading team in points percentage, with Florida just right behind them. It's Thanksgiving. We all know what that means. Football. And nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all sports action this Thanksgiving. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. And it's not just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino game. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. Let's transition to some non-hockey related things on the show. It is Thanksgiving. We talk about that benchmark, American Thanksgiving. But it's funny because ever since I started covering hockey, before I covered hockey, I would just say Thanksgiving. But now that I'm covering it full time, now, of course, with the National Hockey League having seven teams in Canada and having Canadian listeners as well, I have to differentiate the two.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it too, because Andrew's Canadian. So, you know, he had his Thanksgiving. I don't remember when it is, like a month ago or so.
Couldn't it's Columbus tell you. Day. It's Columbus Day for Columbus us. Day. But yeah, it's the same day.
So yes, I hate having to differentiate as American Thanksgiving, because I've never had to do that in my life, only up until having a podcast where I had to like actually differentiate like American Thanksgiving. It's just really funny.
Yeah. So it's something unusual for both you and I guess. But yeah, as far as your plans, food to eat, what are your plans for Thanksgiving? What is in the Clark household for Thanksgiving?
Well, we're hosting Thanksgiving this year, because you know the pandemic is a thing. Last year we didn't have many people over; it was just the four of us and my family and my grandfather. So we're actually hosting, you know, a bigger Thanksgiving party this year. So there's going to be a lot turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, you know, the works, the usual stuff. That's perfectly fine with me. I'm usually not a turkey person. I honestly actually would rather prefer ham on Thanksgiving. I think that's probably a hot take. Maybe not, because I see a lot of people talk on Twitter about, you know, how ham is superior, and I agree. But, you know, I'll eat the turkey. It's good. It's just nice to have, you know, your usual Thanksgiving staples there. You know, got some pies, got ice cream too, just a lot of like, you know, your staples. I don't think we make anything, or at least as far as I'm aware, we're not making anything too wild. We're, you know, pretty, you know, standard fare with our food, which is good for me, because I just, you know, like the good old essentials, the comfort foods, and stuff like that. But it's going to be a good time. It's busy though, since we are hosting Thanksgiving, you know, that means just we have a lot of work to do around the house before, Thanksgiving. So it's just a busy time. But I do have 3 days off starting from Thanksgiving to have off from Thursday to Saturday. So that's nice. I have a handful of days off. We'll use it to, you know, rest up, enjoy the family, enjoy just taking some time off, because it's a busy time of year. I say it on my podcast all the time that this time of year is super busy for me because I do a lot of things with my family, because I'm pretty close with my family. And we have a lot of holiday traditions from, you know, Thanksgiving to Christmas coming up next month. So it's just it's a very busy time, but it's great because it means, you know, things go by fast. I can enjoy a lot of different things, and we're finally actually doing things as compared to last year when we had to put a lot of that on pause because of the pandemic. So now with, you know, vaccinations and people getting, you know, their boosters and stuff like that, it's just it's nice that we're able to, you know, congregate all together. And it's simple Thanksgiving, but it's good for me because it's just what I'm used to, and it'll be nice to see a bunch of my family again.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear for you. Thankfully for me, I'm going somewhere for Thanksgiving. I'm going over to my girlfriend's house. I did pick up a shift at my day job in the morning because time and a half pay is a thing. And honestly, I watch football a lot. I'm a big football fan. My listeners know that. I honestly don't want to watch the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving anymore. I'm so tired of watching them. The NFL needs to do something about like taking them off of Thanksgiving, because it's just the same old crap every single time for them. So, hey, I get off at 2:30 and I get to watch some good football after that. Maybe the second half of that Lions game will be great. So it's usually not, but
as far as
like my main dishes, I am Hispanic. So Hispanic Thanksgiving is not entirely different, but it's pretty, there's a lot of similarities. Of course, turkey. I do like turkey on Thanksgiving because I don't eat it all the time. That's the only reason why I look forward to it, because it's not always a thing. But there's this kind of meat that we have in Puerto Rican households called pernil. It's so great. Some of the best meat like you'll ever meet. Like, of course, we put a lot of seasoning, like sometimes overdo it. Of course, I do. I put a lot of adobo on my meat every single time I cook it. And of course, this is a South Florida podcast, so a lot of Hispanic might be listening too, so they can also relate. Arroz con gandules as well, that's another one. And I have a question though. Maybe we could have a little bit of a debate before the show ends. Is macaroni and cheese a main dish or a side?
Man, that's such a tough question, because I usually think of it as a side dish on Thanksgiving, just because it's supposed to complement, like, for me, main dishes are, I guess, like your meats, your turkey, your starches, like, you know, the potatoes, I guess, stuffing. I guess maybe mac and cheese could quantify under that too. I never really thought about it. But if you're going to ask my sister, who loves mac and cheese is a main dish every time, all the way, 100%. And I completely vibe with that too. So I'm of both minds. I think as long as mac and cheese gets its due on, you know, your Thanksgiving table, that's all that matters. As long as it's there, you can decide for yourself if it's a main dish or a side dish. So I think that's the best of both worlds, because mac and cheese is great. Like you can't go wrong with cheese and pasta. That's it.
Yep.
You cannot go wrong there. So I think as long as you have it on your table, you can decide if it's, you know, a main dish or a side dish. And for me, sometimes it's a side, sometimes it's a main, depending on just how I'm feeling that day. But for at least Thanksgiving, it's probably a side, but okay. I go with, like, you know, a little bit of everything. I'm not loading up on one specific thing. I'm going with a little bit of everything. And then maybe for seconds, I go back for mac and cheese or stuffing specifically, get a little bit more turkey. So that's kind of how I approach my Thanksgiving. And I know a lot of people, though, are very religious about their, you know, the way that they present their Thanksgiving, but that is how I see it.
That's awesome. And I mostly think of it as a side, but hey, you provided both sides of the argument for sure. But yeah, I'm sure I'm probably gonna pull up on my Locked On Florida Panthers Twitter page to see is mac and cheese a side or a main dish, and wonder how many reactions I will get for sure. But anyways, Mary, thank you so much for coming on the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast to preview this Flyers Panthers game on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. By the way, we are recording this before the Philadelphia Flyers take on the Tampa Bay Lightning on Tuesday night. So by the time this comes out, you guys will know the result of that. But Mary, for the people who want to follow you and follow your work, tell them where they can find you.
I'm at Mary C. Clark, and that's Clark with an E on Twitter. You can follow the pod at Crosscheck NHL on Twitter, where we put out episodes every Tuesday and Thursday with me and my co-host Andrew Berkshire, who's fantastic. We'll be recording that episode on Wednesday, so you guys will have a Thanksgiving podcast. So that'll be good. I have no idea what we're going to do yet. That's still in the works, but you'll at least have some Thanksgiving content coming up. And you can also support me at my day job. I work at For the Win, USA Today's sports vertical. So you can just follow me on Twitter and read some of my stuff as you see fit. But that is where you can find me.
Yeah, and definitely follow the show. I haven't missed an episode since the day you guys launched it. So big love hearing you and Andrew talk, and you guys have great chemistry. And definitely everybody, listen to the Crosscheck NHL show. So thank you once again, Mary.
Yeah, no problem. I'll come back anytime.
So if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe to the podcast so you'll be notified every single time the Locked On Florida Panthers podcast jumps into your podcast feed. Make sure to subscribe to the Locked On NHL show and the Crosscheck NHL show with Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark, where they'll be covering all the regular season activities around the National Hockey League. And when you're done listening to this episode of Locked On Panthers, make sure to listen to today's episode of Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Follow Locked On Bets podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. So I'm Armando Velez with Mary Clark, and you've been listening to Locked On Florida Panthers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day.